the preaching of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Hello listeners, this is the Power of Endless Life, brought to you courtesy of Plumet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. Our goal on this program is to present to you Christ, His cross, and His church. I am your host, John Adichoro Olua. We are glad to be back and to come your way again today. We want to continue what we've been dealing with from Hebrews chapter 6, the first principles of the oracles of God as contained in that chapter. Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 1 to 3, and we want to read together. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we do if God permits. We've been dealing with the issue of baptisms, and we share with you that we have about four baptisms in the scriptures. The baptism by immersion in water, the baptism of the Holy Spirit that is done by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the baptism of fire, and then the baptism into the body of Christ. We've spoken on this twice now, baptism into the body, and today we shall continue with this before we move on to the next one, which is the doctrine of laying on of hands. Before we move on today, I want to go back, as I promised, of a scripture we read last week, and that is Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. And it said, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Before I go on, let me also read verse 41 of that same Acts chapter 2. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. So we see the process of being added to the church. Those who are added to the church, or if you allow, are baptized into the church. In verse 41, it said, they received the word gladly, they were baptized in water, and they were added or baptized by the Holy Spirit, 3,000 souls into the church. And then we have read again in that verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. In other words, it's only those who are saved. What I mean by this is this, in other words, those who are added to the church are saved and they want to continue to be saved. It doesn't say here, listener, God added to the church those that are saved. The Holy Spirit was adding to the church, or baptizing to the church, such as should be saved. The word should be saved introduces something to us. It means that these people who are added to the church or baptized into the church, they were saved and they want to continue to be saved. It's a continuous thing. As should be saved, they want to continue to be saved. Because that answered the question, if somebody is added to church or baptized by the Holy Spirit, does that mean he will forever be? Well, I also highlighted this in one of the teachings, that and we are drinking into the Holy Spirit. So the fact that somebody is added or baptized into the church, what does it mean? Whatever he does, he can continue to be member of the church. When we are talking about the church in heaven, when we are talking about the church of the firstborn, when we are talking about the organic body of Christ, when we are talking about that spiritual body, when we are talking about those who are part of that family in heaven and earth, when we are talking about those who are moving on to perfection, it is those who are willing to continue to be saved, to submit to Christ and to follow Christ and working with Christ. And because they have been saved and they want to be saved and continue to be saved. The scriptures say we are saved, we are being saved, and we shall be saved. So our salvation is a continuity. Our salvation is a progressive one. It has to do with the past, it has to do with the present, and it has to do with the future. There are people who were saved yesterday and they don't want to continue to be saved today. They don't want to continue to submit to Christ or follow the word of God and continue to be submissive, to live a sanctified life, to live a life of consecration, and then they choose not to continue to be saved. Because that's the import of this scripture we have read. Daily, such as should be saved. We don't want to give impression that once you are saved and you are added or you are baptized by the Holy Spirit himself, that is the end. On this basis, I want to take you to the book of Matthew to show you what the Lord himself had to say about this matter. And I think the words of Jesus are supreme words. You can't change them. You can change the word of an apostle. You can change any other. But when it comes to the word of Jesus, they are supreme words. They are words that cannot be changed. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word shall not pass away. So let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 18. And I want to read from verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Verse 17. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed where in heaven. Okay? The teaching the Lord is in here is talking about the church. It's in a situation where a brother has offended a brother. The Lord's counsel is that you should go and tell your brother to iron out the issues. His offense against you, his trespass against you, to settle it between two of you alone. That's what he's saying in that verse 15. But if you succeed in reconciling your brother and you settle the dispute or whatever the issues are, then you have gained your brother. But then he says, but if he will not hear you to be reconciled to you, then you should take one or two other people with you. And then when you go with these other people, in other words, to be able to confirm, because by two or three witnesses, the truth shall be established. But if you go with two or three people and he will not listen to you for reconciliation, okay, the Lord said, then tell it to the church. Take the matter to the church. And if he will not hear the church, after the church has intervened, the church has tried to come in, the leadership of the church has tried to come in and then to settle the matter, and if he will neglect to hear the church, the Lord said, let him be what? Let him be unto you a heathen, an unbeliever, and a publican. Not just an unbeliever, but a publican, an open sinner. He's considered a publican, an open sinner. And he said, whatever you then bind on earth, for such a person who has done this, whatever the church should decide about him, heaven will recognize it. Heaven will confirm it. In other words, this person at this point who refuses to reconcile with his brother or sister has chosen not to be saved anymore. He has made a decision not to be saved anymore. And the Lord of the church says such a person has become what? A publican, has become a sinner. He does not want to be saved anymore. That's what the scripture is saying. In other words, this person, even at one point or the other, has been added to the church or baptized to the church, but at this point of his life, he chooses to be a publican. Because it takes a publican or a sinner or an unbeliever not to forgive his brother or sister. It is a life of an unbeliever not to be willing to be reconciled to somebody he has offended or somebody who has offended him, whichever way. Okay? And if he chooses that, he wants to become an unbeliever. He chooses not to be saved again. And at that point, God sees him as an unbeliever. Now, because if he doesn't, the child has to decide about him. The child has to decide. And that's why Jesus said to them, whatever then you decide will be recognized in heaven. And listener, I hope you listen to me. I will listen to the word of God. It is not the life of a Christian who is following God, who is baptized, who is sanctified, who is consecrated, not to want to reconcile with his brother. When you make that decision, you decide to be out. You may be in the church here on earth. You may be a member of a denomination, a member of a group. You may even be a leader. You may even be the pastor. You may even be the choir member. You may even be the treasurer. You may be recognized and be applauded and be honored. But as far as God is concerned, you are out. You have chosen not to be saved. Okay? Of course, unfortunately, today, there are many people in the churches that are not reconciled one to another. There are many people keeping malice and all kinds of divisions in the church and problems in the church. There are people in the churches today, they keep malice and fighting and war and all that. And that's why you see the Holy Spirit is not allowed to work. Holy Spirit cannot work. But the point we are making today is this, that you can choose not to be part, even when you have been part of it at the beginning. That's why it's not that once I am a member, I am forever. And also what it's pointing to is this. You can be a member of any group, any church, anything, and yet not be a member of this church, the family in heaven and earth, the glorious church. We see this demonstrated by Paul, because scriptures, we interpret scriptures. You will see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I just want to read some portions there for our help. What we are dealing with is very important, and I hope you will take time and look at these things yourself. Find out if what we are saying is the word of God. First one, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife, be sleeping with his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather more that he that had done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as present in body, but absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that had done this deed. And he says in verse 4, and in the name of Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. What feast? The feast of Passover, the feast of being born again. Not with the whole leaven, neither with the leaven of malice. You remember, that man who will not reconcile with his brother is keeping malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. It goes on. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicator of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioner, or with the idolater. For them must ye need go out of the world. It's not talking about unbelievers, it's talking about the church. Verse 11, but now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, a covetous, or idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or extortioner, with such an one, not to eat. Verse 12, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within. But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourself that wicked person. Again, we have another scenario here. This is a man who was really having unrighteous relationship with his father's wife. And of course, the Christians in this particular situation in Corinth, they were not bothered about it. I think the attitude was, well, if he's doing it to himself, it doesn't affect us. Paul is saying it affected them. He was saying that a little leaven, don't you know, will leaven the whole lump. That fornication, that adultery, that incestuous relationship will affect you, will leaven you, will defile you, will corrupt you. That's what happens when the sanctity of the church is not kept. So this person has chosen not to be part of it anymore. This person has chosen not to be part of it anymore. And Paul said, what is the solution? Get him out. That's what he said there in verse 13. Them that are without God judge, therefore put away from among you, was referred to as a wicked person. So they had to deal with it. In this instant, this man is showing that he was not ready to continue to be saved. So that's what we mean, that the scripture says God was adding to the church such as should be saved. They are saved, they are being saved, and they want to continue to be saved. That is the truth of the word of God. As we go on, I also want to share by two or three witnesses, the truth shall be established. I pray that we will not condone what Jesus did not condone. I pray that we will be able to deal with the issue according to the scriptures. It gives me a burden when you see so many Christians who are roaming about, who don't find a resting place because of all these things in our churches. We have killed, so to say, the move of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not allowed to move because we have given him no room. I want to go to the book of Acts, chapter 8, and I want to show you. Some of us will remember the story of Simon the sorcerer. The scripture says in this Acts chapter 8, verse 13, then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wonder beholding the miracles and signs which were done. So Simon believed, and Simon was baptized. But when Peter and John went to Samaria to establish the church there, in verse 18, he said, and when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hand, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. So we see something here. He was baptized. He was part of the meeting under the leadership of the evangelist Philip. And then, but when this apostle came laying hands that people will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he offered money to buy this gift. And let's see what Peter said about him. Verse 20, but Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast taught that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Well, Simon didn't repent. What did he say? He said, then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. Now, I wanted to call your attention to what Peter said in verse 21. He said, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. What is that he didn't have part and lot in the church? Simon was baptized, but he was not baptized into the body. And Peter and John recognized that they cannot continue and they cannot include him in the church. So that also confirmed to us what we are trying to say. We are bringing this word of God to you, establishing the fact that we must go back to the foundational teachings, the things we have brought to us in Hebrews chapter 6, that will enable us to go into perfection, to see the reality of Christ, to come into the fullness of Christ. This is what the Lord is waiting for. But if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And this is the reason why we see in the churches today what we see, that the Holy Spirit is not giving room, because we have structured our ways, our worship, our churches in a such a way that the Holy Spirit is out. But we are trusting the Lord that there will be a returning. The scripture is always saying, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. We believe that there will be a returning. I also want to read Hebrews chapter 3, another part of this scripture. I trust that you have time and wait and read the scriptures and see if they are true. If they are true, believe them and let the Lord change you by these scriptures, by the truth of the word of God. Hebrews chapter 3, there's something here that is important that we'll see. It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostles and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who had builded the house had more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. Verse 5, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence of the hope firm to the end. Now, he's saying here simply that Moses led the children of Israel in his ministry, and God honored what Moses did. But he's saying in this dispensation, Christ has the Son over his own house. Whose house we are? The church is the house of God. You will see this in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and I want to read from verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. So we see there what Hebrew is saying is confirmed in what Timothy is saying. We are that church. The church is the house of the living God. And he said Jesus is the head of this house as a son over his own house. But the condition, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm to the end. Why? Because we can be the church today and not be church tomorrow. You can be a Christian added to the church today and you choose not to be saved again. A group of people can come and say, "We are the church." Jesus himself said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, yeah, there I am. That's my church." But they can gather together in his name today and be doing his will and be following him and be consecrated to him. And then they get to a place in their following and they stopped. There's always a condition to continue to be a Christian. There's always a condition to continue to be the church. Because we gather in his name today does not mean we want to gather in his name tomorrow. We may change. We may backslide as individuals, as people. We may go into other things. Jesus may no longer be the head. The Holy Spirit may not be given the room to reign and to rule. Consecration may not be taught or lived in. Sanctification may not be an experience. And we'll pack all those things. We set them aside. The scripture is talking about if we. I want to emphasize that first for us. We look at it together. He said, "But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? We hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope of coming into the fullness of Christ. The hope of the church becoming the vehicle to bring the kingdom of God here on earth. That is the hope. There's a hope ahead of us. It's not just to play church and churchianity and religion and programs and activity that is moving us nowhere. That is not a journey in God. That's nothing. That's not the purpose of God." We read to you, listener, in Hebrews chapter 12, that this church is a heavenly church, which are written in heaven, where the spirit of just men are made perfect, where we are going and going on, and we are hearing him that speaks from heaven, and is shaking all things out of us, and shaking all things, that all that will remain in us will be that which is God. This is the church. And we've shown you from scripture to scriptures, and we've shown you from Matthew, we've shown you from Hebrews, we've shown you from Timothy, we've shown you from the book of Acts, we've shown you from 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We've shown you enough to see that being baptized into the church is a work of the Holy Spirit. But we must continue to drink in the Holy Spirit. It's a progressive work until we come to the fullness of Christ. And if we fail to be, we can cease to be the church. We can cease to be part of the church. The scripture talks of the church growing in the book of Ephesians, that growing into a holy temple. There's a growth, there's a maturity, there's a glory in the church. And we believe that God wants to restore this in this last day. That's why he's speaking to us. Once again, our reason for coming is not to criticize anyone. It's not to pull anyone down. It's not to say somebody is not doing it well or he's doing it well. Our desire is to present the counsel of God that has been given to us, so that those who are hungry for the truth, that those who desire the truth may find their ways, may find the truth, and may seek to follow it. And we trust that there are many of you there, out there, who are tired, who are fed up, not because you don't want to follow God, but because you are looking for reality that is missing in so many places where we assemble together. And we trust that as you find that reality, you will go back to God on your knees, seeking the Lord alone. I'm finding the Lord in your closet. Remember, Jesus said, "Those who seek me in the secret shall be rewarded in the open." We trust that in this last day, that the Lord will find a people for himself who will return to the principle and the simplicity of the early church, where God is given all the room, where the Holy Spirit reigns through the leadership, where the Holy Spirit sanctifies, where the Holy Spirit seeks out, where the Holy Spirit has the room to purge and to cleanse. Like we read to you, this baptism of fire can continue, because in this house, in this church, God declare that he is a consuming fire. This is the place where God is purging. You see, all are linked together. Baptism in water has a purpose. Baptism of the Holy Spirit has a purpose. Baptism of fire has a purpose. And baptism into the body of Christ has a purpose. It's part and process of our salvation. It's part and process of our journey into Christ, journey into perfection. And we trust that the Lord is ministering to you, and we trust that these things are helping you. Our aim for coming is that you, the child of God, may be helped, may be strengthened, may find your Savior, and may return to Him. If you have gone astray from Him, and those who have not found Him may find Him, that He's real, and that His church is true, and that He wants to have a glorious church without spot, without wrinkle, and He wants you to be part of it. That's the whole essence of bringing this message to you, that you will choose today to be part of this, and submit to His way, and submit to His process, so that you can be part of that glorious church that He is building, and that He is coming back for very soon. God bless you.
This message, The Power of Endless Life, is brought to you courtesy Plummet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. You can call us on these phone numbers: 0803-392-2585 and 0706-3890-315. I take it again: 0803-392-2585, 0706-3890-315. You can also send us an email through the following email addresses: endlesslife@yahoo.com and endlesslife@gmail.com. I take it again: endlesslife@yahoo.com and endlesslife@gmail.com. You can also visit our website, www.plummetmission.org. The signature tune is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 of King James Version. Thanks to our regular host, John Adejoroluwa, our producers and our sound engineers. Please join us again, same time next week, and God bless you.
For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but